Uncle Ronan, where's Jasper? I don't see him in the car. What do you mean? He's right. Wait, wasn't he with you? No. You said you were taking him to the bathroom at the rest stop. I thought he came back. Oh, God, Guinevere, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. You left him? You left my son at a rest stop 200 miles from home? My husband's brother drove off and left my disabled son at a rest stop 200 miles from home. Hi, I'm Guinevere. Today I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. I married Declan Ashford when I was 28. He came from a large Irish-American family, loud, boisterous, and always in each other's business. His younger brother Ronan was the golden child, the charming one who could do no wrong in their mother's eyes. Ronan was 35, unmarried, worked in sales, and had that easy confidence that made everyone like him instantly. Our son Jasper was born with cerebral palsy. He's 12 now, uses a wheelchair, and has some cognitive delays that make him function more like an 8-year-old. He's a sweet kid, loves dinosaurs, video games, and telling elaborate stories about imaginary adventures. He requires supervision and assistance with most daily activities, but he's happy, and we've built a good life around his needs. Ronan had always been dismissive of Jasper's condition. Not overtly cruel, just casually ignorant in a way that drove me crazy. He'd make comments about how kids today are too coddled, how back in his day parents didn't make such a fuss. Declan would defend his brother, saying Ronan just didn't understand because he didn't have kids. He means well, Gwyn. He just doesn't know how to act around children with special needs. Then maybe he should learn instead of pretending Jasper's disability is just us being overprotective. This argument happened regularly, especially after family gatherings where Ronan would suggest we were limiting Jasper's potential by accommodating his needs. Their mother, Fiona, would nod along with whatever Ronan said. Declan's older sister, Maeve, was more supportive, but she lived in Boston and wasn't around much. Last summer, Declan's father passed away. The funeral was in their hometown of Millbrook, a small city about 200 miles north. We planned to drive up as a family, but the morning of the trip, Declan woke up violently ill, food poisoning from dinner the night before. He could barely get out of bed. "You should still go," he said between trips to the bathroom. "My mom needs family there." "I'm not driving 4 hours with Jasper by myself. We'll just stay home." That's when Ronan called. He'd heard Declan was sick and offered to drive us. "I'm passing right through your area anyway. I can pick you both up, we'll go to the funeral, stay overnight, and come back tomorrow. Easy." I was hesitant. Ronan had never spent extended time alone with Jasper. But Declan was insistent. "My father's funeral, Gwyn. We need to be there. Ronan's offering to help. Just accept it." So I agreed. Ronan picked us up in his SUV that morning. He helped me load Jasper's wheelchair and overnight bags, made small
Extra Value Meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
Talk about the weather and seemed genuinely eager to help. Maybe I'd been too hard on him, I thought. Maybe this was his way of showing he cared. The drive started fine. Jasper sat in the back with his tablet, watching dinosaur documentaries. Ronan talked about work, about some woman he'd been dating, about his plans to eventually settle down. He seemed almost normal, and I started to relax. About 2 hours in, Ronan pulled off at a rest stop. "Need to stretch my legs and use the bathroom. You guys want anything?" "I'm fine, but Jasper probably needs to use the restroom too." Ronan glanced in the rearview mirror. "Hey buddy, you need the bathroom?" Jasper nodded. "Yes please, Uncle Ronan." "All right, I'll take him. You stay here and relax, Guinevere." I should have gone with them. That decision haunts me. But I was tired, had a headache starting, and Ronan seemed confident. The rest stop was small and simple. What could go wrong? I closed my eyes for what felt like a few minutes. When I opened them, Ronan was sliding back into the driver's seat, starting the engine. "That was quick," I said. "Yeah, wasn't crowded." He pulled back onto the highway. We drove for another 45 minutes. I was dozing off again when Ronan's niece, Maeve's teenage daughter Siobhan, called his phone through the car's Bluetooth. Uncle Ronan, where's Jasper? I don't see him in the car. I sat up straight, my heart stopping. I turned around. The back seat was empty except for Jasper's tablet. What do you mean? He's right. Wait, wasn't he with you? No, you said you were taking him to the bathroom at the rest stop. I thought he came back. Oh God, Guinevere, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. You left him? You left my son at a rest stop 200 miles from home? The next few minutes were chaos. Ronan pulled over to the shoulder, his face pale. I was screaming, crying, trying to call 911, while my hands shook so badly I could barely hold my phone. Ronan kept saying he thought Jasper had gotten back in the car, that he'd been distracted by a phone call, that he didn't mean to. He's in a wheelchair. How do you not notice a wheelchair? I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I'm sorry. The police told us to turn around and head back to the rest stop while they sent officers there. The drive back was the longest hour of my life. I called Declan, who was still sick but now panicking. I called the rest stop directly. No answer. I called Maeve, who started driving from Boston immediately. My mind raced with horrible possibilities. Jasper was vulnerable. He couldn't defend himself. He'd be scared and confused. What if someone took him? What if he wandered off trying to find us? What if he got hurt? When we finally pulled into the rest stop, there were three police cars and an ambulance. My heart nearly stopped. I jumped out before Ronan had fully parked and ran toward the officers. Where's my son? Is he okay? A female officer, Sergeant Lydia Breck, approached me calmly. Your son is safe. He's inside with one of our officers and a paramedic. He's frightened, but physically unharmed. I nearly collapsed with relief. She led me inside to the rest stop security office. Jasper was there, wrapped in a blanket, crying. When he saw me, he reached out. Mommy, I couldn't find you. Uncle Ronan left without me. I held him, sobbing. The paramedic, a kind man named Tom, explained that Jasper had been in the bathroom when Ronan left. A rest stop employee found him 15 minutes later, crying and confused in the lobby. They'd called the police immediately. He kept saying his uncle forgot him, Tom said quietly. We stayed with him, kept him calm. He was very brave. Sergeant Breck pulled me aside while another officer talked to Ronan outside. We need to understand what happened here. Your son says his uncle brought him to the rest stop and then left. Is that accurate? I explained everything. The funeral, Declan being sick, Ronan offering to drive us, the stop at the rest area. She wrote it all down, her expression neutral but her eyes hard. Has this man been responsible for your son before? No, never alone. My husband is his uncle. I thought it would be fine for a few hours. She nodded. Your son has special needs, correct? Yes. Cerebral palsy. He needs supervision. And Mr. Ashford was aware of this? Yes. Everyone in the family knows. Sergeant Breck's jaw tightened. Ma'am, leaving a disabled child alone at a rest stop could constitute child endangerment. We're going to investigate this fully. Ronan was handcuffed. I watched through the window as he argued with the officers, gesturing frantically. Part of me felt satisfied seeing him in cuffs. Part of me was just numb. I called Declan back. They found him. He's safe. Declan was crying. Thank God, is he hurt? No, just scared. Declan, the police arrested Ronan. Silence. Then, what? They're charging him with child endangerment. He left our disabled son at a rest stop. It was an accident, Gwyn. He didn't mean... I don't care what he meant. Jasper was terrified. He could have been kidnapped or hurt or... I couldn't finish. The reality of what could have happened was crushing. We didn't make it to the funeral. I drove home with Jasper in a police escort, using Ronan's car since he was in custody. Maeve met us halfway and followed us home. Declan, still sick but functional enough, was waiting in the driveway. The next few days were a blur. Jasper had nightmares about being left alone. He became clingy, wouldn't let me out of his sight. We started therapy immediately, both for him and for our family. Ronan was released on bail. He called constantly, begging to explain. Declan wanted to hear him out. I refused to allow him near our house. He's my brother, Guinevere. He made a mistake. A mistake is forgetting to pack snacks. He abandoned our son. He thought Jasper got back in the car. How? How do you forget a child in a wheelchair? He wasn't paying attention because he doesn't take Jasper seriously. He never has. That fight went on for hours. Declan was torn between his brother and his family. I wasn't torn at all. Ronan was dead to me. The prosecutor assigned to the case was a man named Felix Durand. He'd handled child welfare cases for years and took it seriously. Mr. Ashford's negligence put your son in danger. The fact that your son is disabled and requires supervision makes this especially serious. Ronan's lawyer tried to paint it as an honest mistake. They presented character witnesses, friends, co-workers, family members, who swore Ronan was responsible and caring. Fiona, my mother-in-law, actually testified on his behalf, saying her son would never intentionally harm a child. I testified too. I described Jasper's needs, Ronan's history of dismissing his disability, and the terror of realizing my son was missing. The prosecutor asked if I believed it was truly an accident. I think he was careless because he doesn't respect my son's limitations. He's always acted like Jasper's disability is something we exaggerate. That attitude led to negligence. The courtroom was packed with family members, split down the middle. Maeve sat behind me with her daughter. Fiona sat behind Ronan with several of Declan's cousins. Declan sat in the back, alone, looking miserable. The trial lasted 3 days. The rest stop security footage was damning. It showed Ronan walking Jasper to the bathroom, then Ronan leaving alone 8 minutes later, talking on his phone, getting in the SUV, and driving away. He never looked back, never checked the rear seat, just left. The employee who found Jasper testified about how frightened and confused he'd been. He kept asking where his mommy was. He said his uncle forgot him. I've never seen a child so scared. Ronan took the stand and apologized profusely. He cried, said he'd been distracted by a work call, that he'd assumed Jasper had gotten back in the car because he'd been in the back seat earlier. His lawyer emphasized that Ronan had no history of violence or neglect, that this was an isolated incident. But the prosecutor destroyed that defense. Mr. Ashford, how long have you known your nephew? His whole life, 12 years. And in those 12 years, have you ever been solely responsible for his care? No, not entirely. Why not? Ronan hesitated. I don't have much experience with kids with special needs. Yet you volunteered to transport him 200 miles? I was trying to help my family. Did you receive any instructions about your nephew's needs before this trip? His mother told me some things, but I thought, he seemed pretty independent. The prosecutor pulled out text messages between Ronan and a friend, sent the night before the trip. One read, "Stuck driving my brother's family tomorrow. Kid's disabled, so it'll probably be a pain." Another, "Hoping the kid sleeps the whole way. Not really my thing." The jury deliberated for 6 hours. They found Ronan guilty of child endangerment and reckless endangerment. The judge sentenced him to 18 months in jail, 3 years probation after release, and mandatory community service working with disability advocacy organizations. Fiona collapsed in the courtroom, sobbing. Several family members glared at me like this was my fault. Declan looked devastated. Maeve squeezed my hand. "He deserved it," she whispered. Ronan's sentence split the family permanently. Fiona stopped speaking to me and Declan entirely. She blamed me for pressing charges, said I'd ruined her son's life over an accident. Several of Declan's cousins took her side. We stopped being invited to family events. Declan struggled with depression for months. He'd lost his father, and now his brother was in prison. His mother wouldn't take his calls. He blamed me sometimes, late at night when he'd been drinking. "He's my brother. You destroyed him." He left our son alone and terrified. I protected Jasper. You could have dropped the charges, shown mercy. The same mercy Ronan showed our son? Eventually, Declan had to choose. His family of origin or his actual family. It took therapy and several separations, but he finally chose us. He cut off contact with his mother and the relatives who'd sided with Ronan. Jasper's nightmares eventually faded, though he still gets anxious at rest stops. We've worked hard to rebuild his sense of security. He's doing well now, back to his dinosaur obsessions and silly stories. Ronan served 14 months before being released on good behavior. He's not allowed contact with Jasper and has a permanent record as a child endangerment offender. Last I heard, he lost his sales job and was working as a warehouse supervisor. The conviction comes up on background checks, limiting his employment options. his mandatory community service at a disability advocacy center, was apparently eye-opening. According to Maeve, who reluctantly stayed in contact with him, Ronan finally understood the seriousness of what he'd done. He sent me a letter once, a long apology explaining how working with disabled children had shown him how vulnerable Jasper really was. I burned it without reading past the first paragraph. Fiona had a stroke a year after Ronan's conviction. Some family members blamed the stress of the trial. She survived but needed significant care. Ronan moved back home to help her, effectively becoming her caretaker. From what I understand, it's not going well. She resents needing help, and he resents being stuck there. Maeve keeps me updated on family gossip, even though I've asked her not to. She means well, but doesn't understand that I don't care what happens to these people anymore. They chose Ronan over Jasper. That tells me everything I need to know about their character. Declan's cousin Padraig reached out recently, apologizing for taking sides during the trial. He'd become a father himself, and said he finally understood why I'd pushed for prosecution. If someone did that to my kid, I'd have done worse than press charges, he admitted. I appreciated the apology, but declined his invitation to reconnect. Some bridges are burned for good reason. Jasper asks about Uncle Ronan sometimes. We've told him age-appropriate versions of the truth, that Uncle Ronan made a very big mistake and had to face consequences. Jasper seems satisfied with that answer. He's more interested in his current uncles, Declan's friends who've stepped up to be positive male role models. People sometimes ask if I feel guilty about Ronan going to prison. The answer is no, not even a little. He endangered my child through negligence and arrogance. He'd spent years dismissing Jasper's needs, and that attitude directly led to him abandoning my son at a rest stop. The consequences fit the crime. Declan has slowly rebuilt a relationship with his siblings who supported us, Maeve and her family mainly. But there's a distance now, a wariness that wasn't there before. The family we thought we had doesn't exist anymore. We've built a new one, smaller and more selective. Last month, Jasper asked if he'd ever see Grandma Fiona again. I told him probably not. He thought about it for a moment, then shrugged and went back to his dinosaur book. Children are resilient like that. I still have moments of rage thinking about that day. The terror of realizing Jasper was gone. The 45 minutes we drove not knowing he was missing. The image of him alone and scared, waiting for us to come back. Ronan's 14 months in jail doesn't feel like enough punishment for that. But Jasper is safe. That's what matters. We protect him fiercely now, perhaps too much. But I'd rather be overprotective than careless. I'll never again trust someone else to prioritize his safety over their convenience. If someone's carelessness endangered your child and they showed no real understanding of the severity until they faced consequences, would their eventual remorse change anything? Or are some betrayals beyond forgiveness?